I don't know if it strikes you, but I'm interested in last words. I'm interested in when people say things that are considered last words. Maybe a child is moving out of the house, hopefully for good, and you have last words for them. Maybe a friend is moving away and you may not ever see them again. Maybe someone is close to death and they have some last words. Usually those words are very profound. They're not perfunctory. Usually they are serious. They're not silly. And that's the case with our text this morning. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' last words. Moses has led the people of Israel for some 40 years. He will not be allowed to take them into the land of Canaan, as you probably know. Joshua will take over and be the captain. He will lead the armies that will take over the land. Moses is going to go to be with the Lord on Mount Nebo. These are his last words. And what will he say? What are those last words that he should say to the people of Israel before they go into the land? If I were to summarize the book of Deuteronomy, his last words, I think I would say this. Moses would say, Israel, keep the law of Moses. Be obedient to the law of Moses. And make sure that you stay faithful to the covenant that you made with him back at Mount Sinai some 38 to 40 years before. But in saying that, he will also say, you have to pass on your faith. You have to pass on the law. You have to pass on this faithfulness to the covenant. And that's going to take in everybody. That's going to take in all generations. It's going to be intergenerational. If the faithfulness of the people is going to last, if it's going, as the Lord says, if it's going to go well with you in the land, if you're going to pass on a legacy that means anything, then you're all going to have to be involved and you're going to have to pass it on. I think that that particular text, Deuteronomy 6, which you're going to read in a second, is an enduring message. It is a message that, and this is a series that we're in. We're talking about messages that were spoken in the Old Testament, but that echo into the New Testament and echo down to us. They are enduring messages. So let's go to Deuteronomy 6, and let's see what Moses says in part in his last words. And we even sang some of it this morning. Thank you, brother. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them, the NIV says. Other translations say, teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the way, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's an enduring message. And we'll go back to the specifics of that for a minute, but I want to fast forward to the New Testament for just a minute, because if this is an enduring message, we're going to find similar things stated in the New Testament. That's exactly what we find. Two different ages and different situations The New Testament writers will say basically the same. Let's zero in on some of the things that Paul will say to different people. Paul tells the Christian parents in Ephesus to pass it on. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So certainly parents of children are exhorted to teach their children well today, and in so doing, pass on their faith. But Paul, later in 1 Timothy chapter 4, talking to Timothy, tells him to pass it on. He's a young evangelist, and he's going to pass it on to others who will pass it on to others. Listen to what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. If you pass it on, in other words, Timothy. Then later in verse 11, he'll say, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set the believers an example in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. So he's saying, pass it on, pass it on. We were talking about how this message of pass it on from one generation and intergenerational to other people in the body among the children of God is passed down to the New Testament. First of all, Paul emphasized it to the children. To the parents in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. But then he also mentioned it to Timothy. And Timothy was one not only as a younger, maybe young professional type, an evangelist, he was to pass it down, but he's to pass it down to people who are also going to pass it down as well. So it's not just one age group. It's not just one group of people. Paul continues that in Titus chapter 2, and one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. He's going to talk to the older men because they have this influence on the younger men. And he's going to talk to the older women because they have an influence on the younger women. And he's going to talk to the younger women because they have an influence on their children. I mean, it spreads out across the congregations in Crete. He says, make sure you pass it on. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the same kinds of people that Moses is talking to in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He's talking to the children of God, and he says, we have to pass this faith on. Who's in your circle? Who's in your arena? Who's out there? Who's already being influenced by you? Thank God for that. But who might be included in your circle of influence? Who is there for you to teach, influence, and train in the faith and pass it down to? Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy because Moses is going to give us some pointers. He's going to give us some specific ways as to how that's done across the board with all of us. The first thing he's going to say is, adults, you have to be genuine and strong in your faith. I mean, you can't pass down something that is not a part of you. Verses 4 and 5, verse 5 is on the screen, but verse 4, he will say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You have to be strong within yourself. You can't just say something that you expect kids and others around you who are listening to you and influenced by you to get if there's not the life that backs that up. He says you have to appreciate what's at stake here, that you're in a position to pass something down that if it's not caught by those around you, perhaps it will be lost. We know that all the example that we set before them is good, but it also takes the talk as well. Those are both involved, and we're going to talk about those. If the talk and the walk are both involved, then they might well catch it. It's not good enough to simply think, well, they'll catch it automatically by being around me. They'll catch it because they're around good people. They'll catch it because they're in good circumstances. Not necessarily. They won't, and why should they? If they don't hear it from us, and they don't see it in us, that our lives matter because of it, it won't matter to them. So we hold the key to their choice of adopting the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we all have embraced. All right, well, let's go further here. Next, he says, you got to talk the talk. In verse 7, he'll say, teach them, teach your children. You shall teach them diligently and shall talk of them all the time as you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You got to walk the walk. Yes, we know that. But we've also got to talk the talk. We've got to have coming out of our mouths the right kinds of things. And I'm zeroing in here on something because the second point may sound exactly like this, but it's not in regard to what we pass down. As I said earlier, we can't just think association with good people and being around the practices of good things necessarily translates into the hearts and lives of those around us that we're trying to influence. It's not automatic. And what he's really talking about here is something very specific. You got to talk the talk of the Word of God. Not just in general here. He's not just talking about generally Christian things here. He's talking about the specific Word of God. And there's an importance to that because we know from Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I can't just talk in general about things and they automatically get it. There is something precious and there is something inherently powerful about the Word of God itself. If I lay up the Word in my heart that I might not sin against Him, then there's a power in the Word, isn't there? We sung about that Word. I want that Word in my heart. I want to embrace it. And that's what I want to pass down. I want to be telling them. I want to be sharing with them. I want to be teaching. I want to be preaching. I guess we're talking here about maybe more a little bit formal situations with the people around us that we've chosen. And we'll talk about the specifics of how to do that in a little bit. But I want to have sessions with them where it's the Word of God that we delve into. Again, it's not just, well, here's what life is about as a Christian. But then when we talk the Word of God, there's a second thing that I want to put with that. That we speak the language of the kingdom. And in doing so, we're going to create a culture. Now, this may sound like exactly the first part. It may sound like the Word of God specifically, but it's not. Hear carefully what I'm saying here. He's talking about the language we use around ourselves, in our households, when we're around people. What does our language sound like? What does that sound like? Well, hopefully it doesn't sound anything like our culture. You know what our culture sounds like right now. It's very unkind, it's loud, it's crass, it's brash, it's crude, it's profane, it's demeaning, it's hurtful, it's unkind. And those around us who are thinking, well, what's the language that a Christian uses? What are they going to hear from us who are around them? What kind of language is going to come out of our mouth? Hopefully it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, that kind of language. And when they hear us use that kind of language to them, then they're going to catch on to what kind of language they're supposed to use. And this language is not unusual for us. It's not something like, well, you switch when you're around those that you're trying to mentor. It's the natural language. It is your native language. Isn't it what Christ would have used? I mean, you and I are hearing all that language come our way. If we're not careful, we will incorporate that language into our language. And there is a distinct difference between the language of our culture and the language of the culture of Christianity. I think about missionaries who've gone to different fields, and I'll use a particular example of a missionary going to another field from America whose native language is English, of course. And maybe the language of that nation is different. And the parents want those children to learn that language, but also to retain the language from which they came. And so in the home, what kind of language are they going to use? They're going to use the language that they want their children to retain and learn. Is not that same principle what I'm getting at here? When people are in our households, when people are in our circles that we're trying to have an influence on and pass it on to, then what kind of language are they going to hear from us? Hopefully it's a language of the heavens. It is the language of Christ. It is the language of the New Testament put into the English language that is real and joyful and loving and kind today. It is so different. As James would say, if out of the mouth are coming blessing and cursing, that's not the way a Christian acts, James 3, verse 10. And then he says, my brethren, my brothers, this should not be. So the language of our culture is very opposed to the language that we are to speak. So when you and I speak the language of Christianity, those around us, those that we're influencing, they'll adopt that and we will have passed it on. Speak the language of the Christian culture. But then third, in verses 7 through 9, make it your DNA and make it their DNA. And I'm taking it a step further here. I'm taking it to the life now. We've talked about the Word of God specifically. We've talked about the language that comes out of that. Now we're talking about the life that we live. We're talking about putting it into practice. We're talking about what our life actually is on a day-to-day basis. Verses 7 through 9. Impress them on your children. Talk with them when you sit down and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I kind of get the idea that he says this Christian culture which you bought into should permeate everything about your life. It should be in everyday occurrences. And I think when we're around those that we've reached out to and tried to influence, whether it's children or whether it's other people around us, and trying to mentor them and pass down our faith, they've got to see that in our lives. I'm talking about the Christianity. They've got to see that in our lives. They've got to hear us talking about it. I've written down a comment here, and I really like it. I guess I should like everything I write down, but sometimes I don't. Do I, Bill? Sometimes we don't like everything I write down. Don't comment. Yeah. But we are a commentary on our culture to these people that are around us and listening. We are the biblical commentary on our culture. And so as we eat a meal together with them, we're sharing a meal and we're praying and we're talking about the great provider. I know we thank God for our food, but then there's this conversation of it broadens out, doesn't it? As we talk to these people about what does God provide for us? And we talk about what we believe God provides for us and what provides. And they get to thinking that way. They get to practicing that very mindset every time they eat a meal. It's not just, thank you for the food, let's grab the grub, you know. It's, what is it that God provides? As we journey into the great outdoors and we experience the creation, there is this awareness of it. It's not just taken for granted. It is, the Lord made this. Look at his wisdom. Look at his genius. Look at his beauty. Look at his power. And he did that for us. As we are spared disasters and sicknesses and perils of all kinds, we talk about our prayer life to get us through that. We tell our stories to these people, how we gained the victories through faith. How we fell at times, our defeats, the forgiveness that God granted us, and the steadfastness of our lives as we move forward. They need to hear those stories, and those stories need to be passed down to them as part of our lives. As we look at our culture and we compare the morals and the values of our world that are coming through all the voices of secular culture coming at us, we explain and we exalt the things above, in contrast to that. We help them discern what's true and what's not true, what's holy and what's not holy, what's righteous and what's not righteous. Perhaps not all of you were here last week, but those of you that were, I want to recall Monty's sermon for just a minute. He talked about that which was real and that which was truth or true. And his main point was that we can run up against the real and we think it's truth and it's really not. There's the biblical way to look at that. There's the truth of God's word. There is the power of God. That is the truth. And he made the point that you have to subjugate the real to the truth. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about. We run up against the real all the time. But we have passed on to these people around us the truth, and they too have learned to subjugate the real to the truth. Whether it's in morals or whether it's in situations we run up against, whether it's in friends we're around, any situation, they have learned to put the Word of God into practice because we have shown them. The next generation learns as we apply Scripture, and that's the way we pass it on. Be genuine and strong yourselves, Moses said. You've got to get yourself right first. You got to pass on the Word. You got to talk the talk, because that's where faith comes from. I'm talking about the Word of God itself. But then beyond that, you got to speak the language that emanates from the Word of God, that permeates everything you say and every way you talk about life and how you interpret it. And then you've got to make Christianity the DNA of your life and pass it on to them, so that everything is interpreted through the Word of God, so that there is a way to know how to move forward and how to apply Christianity in their lives. Now, this is pretty high ideal. It might make us feel like, wow, I'm not doing so well on this. Or maybe I did well in this area, but I should have been reaching out to some other people. Maybe I did a good job with my children, but I hadn't thought about anybody else. This is an all congregation, all children of God kind of thing here. And so as I think about this, there's a tremendous challenge. And hopefully I've got some practical means by which you can do this, or at least some examples to use for you. These are the overarching principles, but Charles, help me out. Well, first of all, I want to say we got to look around. Who's watching? Who's in our circle? Maybe it's somebody younger, or maybe it's a peer. Who's around us? In that Titus passage, it was, who was younger than you who's looking to you? Who's around you that's looking to you? Who has the same circumstances in life that's looking to you? And we have to have the aggressiveness to reach out and try to make that relationship and form a relationship. Not all of those will be natural. We've got to find those maybe that are a little easier, that fit together. But also, for those of us who are needing this mentoring, maybe we're the ones that reach out. Kara and I have certainly had people reach out to us in the past. We weren't necessarily looking at them. They look to us. This can go both directions to get the relationship started. But let me give you some examples of specifics of what I'm talking about. You know, hopefully, Leadership Training for Christ is going to continue. It's going to go on. And those young people need mentors. They need helpers to get their things that they're going to submit and do in LTC together. But that's an opportunity to form a relationship that hadn't been there before. To take beyond just, let me help you with your sermon, or let me help you with your chorus, to a relationship that blossoms and buds into something more significant than that and useful, even than that, even though that's tremendously useful. Jeff Rader heads up that program, and I'm sure he'd be able to help you with that. But Jeff's wife, I was talking to Jeff this week, and he said, you know, my wife Leah was looking for a way to do that this summer. So she just reached out to 5 or 6 girls in the youth group, and they met in a park where they could socially distance. And she, several times through the summer, had this relationship. She's passing on her faith to those that are younger and wanted to listen. There's kind of a sweet example that my wife reminded me of. They're not at this service, but, you know, the Jacob and Nancy Miller family sit usually here, and David and Tanya Boyer usually sit next to them. You probably see David taking the boys off and Sophie off to the children's worship at times. The Boyers, who were working with that family, had started to make a habit of, the night before school started, going over to their house and praying with the boys. Well, of course, this year they couldn't do that. They were in Colorado taking care of Brooklyn. But they made a FaceTime call and they prayed for the boys. But then something happened that startled them. and that Jacob and Nancy hadn't put the boys up to. The boys said, "We want to pray for you." So that which they had passed on was now being passed back. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that exactly what you want? A prayer life that looks out for other people. The blessings go both ways. So look around. Who's in your arena? Call attention to that. How can you pass it on? But then I want to give some specific help to parents. Just a couple of resources, and I want to show you a video that Jeremy Myers has done. It's really a neat video. Janda Stone Craig, who is one of my wife's former students, she's a preacher's wife in Lansing, Michigan, and she has an incredible children's Bible class every week, a pre-K to kindergarten. Check it out. You might be blessed by that. A friend of this congregation's, Mary Nelson, who is the mother of our David Nelson, a missionary that we support in New Zealand. She, for years, has been putting together a website called missionbibleclass.org. It's primarily for missionaries in areas where they don't have a lot of resources of Bible class material. But it is chock full of all kinds of resources that are available to us to use as parents or others, for sure. But then there are the special things we do at home now. And Jeremy, who, by the way, got sick this morning, he texted me, I'm sorry about that. But he did this little video, especially for parents' help. And you see, Jeremy and Scott stand ready to help us with mentoring our youth. But let's talk about the children aspect with this video.
What happens in a moment will never have the same kind of impact as what happens over time. That's why there's a collective momentum with what we as parents do every week. And even in the ordinary rhythms of life, it's what we do over time that makes the lasting impressions on the hearts of our children. I must confess, in the everyday rhythm of life, and especially with school starting back, I fail at times to have those spiritual conversations with my two sons on an everyday basis. I started to think about what Moses said when he said, "Talk to them when they're sitting in your home, and when you walk along the road with them, and when they lie down, and when they get up." I thought this rhythm cooperates exactly with the way that life naturally happens now. What if the best way for me to parent my sons in this phase of life and to have those spiritual, meaningful conversations is to simply leverage the everyday moments that I already have with my sons? The children's ministry would like to share with you some of the things that are going to be available starting today and in the near future. Parents will be able to download the actual teacher guide and be able to see the actual lesson being taught in the classroom. You'll also be able to download Bible timeline maps, as well as the two-year scope and sequence for first through fifth grade. Every lesson comes with family journaling sheets and asks the same 5 questions. There's also the big picture question for every lesson in order to reinforce what they learned in class. And kids that turn in their journaling sheets get a Bible baseball card to take home. You'll also be able to download all of the activity sheets for older kids and younger kids, and of course the coloring sheet. You'll also be able to download the Bible bookmark and be able to check off if you did your reading. And you'll also have a reading plan for the quarter. You'll be able to see all the activity sheets that the kids did in class. And if you weren't able to make it, you can download it and do it at home. You'll also have access to download all the video Bible stories and watch them from home. I'm so proud of the kids that are still working on the Climb, the Books of the Bible challenges. If you've lost your challenge sheet, it'll be posted online by next week. And we've got some new challenges on the horizon coming this year. Over the past 3 months, Lena Davis and I have edited every single one of these lessons. And our favorite part has been the Christ connection. Every single lesson, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, they connect the story to Jesus. Our kids will know the entire Bible is all about Jesus. These are just a few of the things that are available for parents in children's education.
May God bless you and your families as you seek to create a wonderful rhythm in your home of having spiritual conversations with your children.
Well, just some beginnings for us. I know there's a lot of this going on in this congregation. I just want to encourage you. Even though we're separated in some ways by what's come upon us, let's continue to do that through the means that we have. And maybe if you haven't been doing some of this, hopefully this will be a stirring for you to think about, how can I pass it on? Years ago, as a youth minister in Dallas, Texas, we used to go in the auditorium Sunday nights and sit around the pulpit or sit down near the pulpit, and we would sing songs, and this was one of them. You may or may not know it, but it has that line in it. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on. I thank God for those of you that are, and I thank God for those of you that are going to take some new initiatives to pass it on. But if you haven't even begun the journey yet, please use today to step into the light, to step into the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take upon yourself that genuine and strong love of the Lord by becoming a Christian. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sins and confess Him before these good people, and be immersed for the remission of your sins to receive forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. We invite you to respond in the appropriate way as we stand and sing.